today comes from the book of John, where we are preaching this time, John 12, starting at the 20th verse. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus.
And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.
The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that no one others said, an angel spake to him.
Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
This he said, signifying what death he should die.
Oh Lord, help us to get it, that we are to give ourselves thoroughly and completely over to you. Help us to understand what that looks like in our lives, and to do it in a way that honors you, that praises you, that shows the whole world that you are a good God. Oh Lord, help us as we give ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. And we will not be conformed to this world, but we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But we don't think too highly of ourselves. But we think soberly as each man has been given a gift. Inspire us, enable us, show us how to use that gift, Lord, so that you might be honored. This day, Lord, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we don't know how to do this without you. I mean, there are emotions that we can go through. There are habits that we can handle, that we can go through these things, and we can do this stuff, and we can do rote and routine and all of that. We can make it a matter of muscle memory. We can do all of that, but that's not what we're looking for today. Today, we need you. Without you, there's nothing of value that can be done here. Without you, we're hopeless. But today, we are filled with hope because we have you. We are filled with hope because you're here. You've said you will never leave us nor forsake us. We're filled with hope because you are good and there is none other like you. We are filled with hope because you are our King. So this day, Lord, Show yourself strong on behalf of your people, that we might worship you. As we've said so many times before, won't you revive us again, that your people might rejoice in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I confess that I am a person who is in need of revival. I confess that I need Jesus. I need the Spirit of the living God to move in my life. I need to have my mind renewed by the Spirit of God. I need my Father to look down and smile upon me. I need him. I am just challenged with the stuff of ministry, the stuff of life. Does it just seem sometimes it's coming wave after wave after wave? And sometimes the waves are nice and gentle and they just seem to lap at your feet. Sometimes the waves come in torrents and the only thing sticking out is your feet. Maybe I feel it because I sense the urgency of the times. I sense the need. There are people that do not know Jesus Christ that are dying and going to hell. There are Christians who are not living the abundant life. They're living. You know, they're existing. But it would be hard to convict them of being a Christian in court. In our scripture today, we'll start at the 20th verse. Oh, you know, we can't do that. We'll start at the 12th verse. Let's get the context right. 12th verse of the book of John says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. What an exciting time that must have been. But as I began to think about this, as I was reading and considering what they were doing, it's really wonderful that they're saying, hey, this is the king. But what they were saying is that we're hoping that our prayers for someone to come and take over and help us is come. That's what they're saying. Hosanna. The king has come. The king has arrived. And Jesus went right along with it. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. That's from Zechariah 9:9 that was prophesied, that's the way that the king would enter. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they then remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. And it was like, oh, man, we were doing just what Scripture said. He was the fulfillment of Scripture. Everything he did was the fulfillment of Scripture. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. Those people that saw what he did, recognized what he did, they said, look, he did, look what he's done. Verse 18, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. People wanted to see the miracle worker. They wanted to see the one who had done this incredible work. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." They were so worried about losing their place, their prestige, for someone else taking the limelight away from them, from someone else looking more holy than they did, someone else doing the works of God in a special way. And they're talking to each other saying, "Look at this, you man, don't you see? He's whipping us, he's beating us, he's doing better than we are." And in that atmosphere, verse 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." Here's a trigger for the things that follow. The Gentiles come. Just like Scripture had said, the Gentiles coming. "Then the same came therefore to Philip." Notice they go to one with a name that was a Greek name. "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.' Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come.'" It's time now. The hour is come. This is an important time that the Son of Man should be glorified. You know, when that came out of his mouth, they probably went, "Yay, they're going to glorify. Everybody's going to glorify you." But he kept going. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Wait a minute, what are you saying? Do you know what happens when a seed falls into the ground? It dies, it breaks apart. It's no longer what it was. It changes. That, what are you saying, Lord? Are you gonna die? Are you giving up your life? Verse 25, "He that loveth life shall lose it." What do you mean? "He that loveth life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." What do you mean by that? How could it be that you lose your life here so that you can have a life there? What does that mean? "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Well, where are you going to be, Lord? Where are you going to be? "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I came unto this hour." I came to die. I came to die. Just think about it. Think about the babies that we rock in our arms today. There will be a day when they die. And Jesus said it was his day. It was his time. It was his place to die. And if he was to bring life to us, he must die. if he was to share with us the life forever, he must die. And then he says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me. I didn't need to hear this because I knew. But for your sakes. We have this word of God for our sakes. He blesses us. He helps us to understand God. He helps us to grasp. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If they kill me, this thing is going to blow up, and it's going to be amazing. And the whole world is going to get to see that Jesus Christ is Lord. The whole world is going to see that the Father is love. The whole world is going to see the power of the Spirit. This is an amazing thing. He said this, signifying what death he should die. You know, we cling too hard to the stuff of this world. We cling too hard. We're holding on to this stuff that can't give us eternal life. In the prayer earlier, I quoted what Paul says. He says, I beseech you, brethren, I'm begging you to get it. Come on, please get it. You've got to understand there's some things that aren't pleasant that are coming, but you need to give yourself. Just like Jesus gave himself, you need to give yourself a living sacrifice. You die to the needs that you have. You die to your desires. You die to the pleasures of this world. Not because they're not real pleasures, not because life isn't pleasant, not because of any of those things, but you give yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You want to be a fragrant sacrifice to God. When you look back, you want to be a one who can honestly say that his life was pleasing to God. You are a fragrant aroma, something that God says, well done, my good servant. Oh, to live a life where you know that you know that you know you have accomplished your purpose. You have a purpose. Yes, by grace we are saved. And in that grace, he has created us to have purpose. Are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you living a life that is filled with not ease necessarily, but with the joy of knowing that you're satisfying your Father, with the peace that comes from having him as your Lord, with the faith that makes it so that you can take another step, with the patience and perseverance that keeps you going, with the self-control that keeps you from doing what you'd like to do to those that have hurt you and the things that don't feel good, with the goodness that comes from God and with the love that's shed abroad in our heart. The love that is real, the love that makes a difference, the love that is continually drawing us. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, the unique son he gave, the unique son purposely allowed himself to be crucified, dead and buried so that you might be resurrected, that you might live. 3 days later, he rose again. The King has come. The King has come, and this wondrous, amazing King was crucified. He died. 3 days later, he rose again. And now, we know that he is coming again, and every eye shall see him. And everyone shall bow because Jesus Christ is King. He's Lord. Today, will you live for something more than this short-term okayness? You know, we struggle just to be okay right now. Will you give that up to be okay in eternity? Verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. I'm offering you a light today. I'm offering you Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. I'm offering you an opportunity to let your light that he wants to provide for you so shine among men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Because make no mistake about it, what this is all about is glorifying your Father in heaven. You want joy? Glorify your Father. You want peace? Glorify your Father. Don't look at the cost now, because this is not your life. I just feel like I can't give the urgency. There are people that are dying. And you are God's provision for them to hear the word of God. If you don't share, if you don't care, if you don't bear the burdens of your brothers and sisters and family, who will? We are to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. We have purpose here. Will you join each other in getting the work done? God is calling. Don't you bow your head? This day, Lord, maybe we'll want to pray something like this. Father, I surrender. I'm done with trying to figure it all out. And I am going to trust that you know what you're doing. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. And now, Lord, I am asking that you would fulfill your promise and save me, because I need saving. I confess I've not been all that I should be. But I believe that you can still change me, that you can still use me. Have your way. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar is open to you. You're welcome to come to the altar. I'd be glad to pray with you. God's got a plan for your life.